Okay, this is November 17th, 2008, and I want to talk to Scott about my new pronouncements about the complexities in my formula. All right, we're going to begin with an essay I wrote back in 95, and it got published in Flipside in issue number 102, the June-July 1996 issue. It's part one of two phases in the essay. The first phase is called Up the Orphic Anti. And we go down to maybe over halfway down the article as it's presented in various sources through fivebodied.com or dobstown.com. And it says, or I write in 95, early 96, in order to give a clue as to how all this leads to lockdown Bob Rule, I will jump ahead to a denouement that will surface in 1 or 2 years as a major transforming environment. Dash, that of the confirmation of Professors Fleischmann's and Pond's cold fusion energy source. Now, this is what I was thinking about when I was making my chart at the same time I was making these essays, or the chart and elaboration of the implications of these two essays. Now, the second essay is called, Virtually Solar Theater?
Silencing the Virtually Solar
Theater? Yeah, Silencing the Virtually Solar Theater. Okay, so looking at the continuation of this part of Up the Orphic Ante, it says, Pons and Fleischmann are getting very positive results in their laboratories in France at this very moment. That was 94, 95. This new technological breakthrough will turn the world upside down because history for the past 6,000 years has been based on, quote, friction in all senses of the word, in bracket, friction, quote, unquote. But now we will enter a new unprecedented, quote, frictionless, unquote, energy-based society where more energy is available as output than was put in. So therefore, you might be able to see how, quote, fission precedes fusion. I'm actually quoting McLuhan there from a 1966 interview. You might be able to see how fission precedes fusion by considering the accompanying chart as a review of the friction of crowds. If one considers each medium as an extension of the crowd, creating new stresses and strains in the crowd. However, there is a definite trend leading toward implosion from the telegraph to the satellite and laser beam phase. That would be the formula chart, you know, not the tiny note chart, the formula chart, those categories, telegraph to satellite and laser beam. And I say the satellite is an important marker in this evolution towards fusion. If you consider every technological environment an extension of the human crowd, or social nature, rather than of just biological nature, or first nature. So in other words, social nature is a term I'm using there, which I often call second nature, as opposed to biological nature, which is first nature. So if you consider every technological environment extension of the human crowd, or social nature, or second nature, rather than of just biological nature, or first nature, then because the satellite is alone of all technologies a complete extension of the planet, or first nature, by being the first man-made habitable simulation of our natural environment, maybe that should be inhabitable simulation of our natural, in quotes, natural environment, which will refer to, that would be first nature, our natural environment, natural in quotes, then the satellite is a simultaneous extension of both first and second natures. And something unique and unprecedented has occurred.
Okay, hold on. When you refer to the crowds, technology is an extension of the crowds, are you referring to, is it crowds multiple? There are multiple crowds, and technology may extend one crowd, but not another crowd, or are you referring to the entirety of the human species when you use the word crowds?
I'm talking about a human crowd as a second nature invention caused by technology. So the first crowd comes together maybe with speech, or maybe there's a grunting, or what McLuhan calls verbum, V-E-R-B-U-M, verbum would be grunting, commutative grunting by the cavemen after they've evolved into human consciousness. The technology and the merging together of these proto-humans to have some kind of community based on a technology, which would be the speech or the grunting. Okay? So I'm saying that the human crowd is a creation of second nature. And the way we measure the changes in the human crowd is through the technological environments that the human crowd extends or creates.
Within speech, you have different languages and different dialects producing different cultures. So
yeah,
you're
that might
using
be caused by weather. It could be whatever causes different speeches in different parts of the world.
Yeah, but when you refer to at the crowd level, you're just referring to speech in general, so it's a generalization that includes everyone who speaks regardless of their individual expression.
Yeah, so crowd is, most people think of crowds as maybe a group of first nature humans getting together, but it's the clothing and the technology that makes the human crowd, as opposed to a bunch of human apes or naked human proto-humans walking around having no way to communicate to each other or to hold it together, so the crowd is constant and therefore becomes a society. So it's social nature, or I would add meme. So it's a social nature, it's a medium, it's second nature. Human crowd equals medium equals second nature, okay?
Right, so you're using crowd in the singular, there's not plural crowds.
Well,
or would there be a crowd for for a spoken word and a crowd for electric media? These would be different distinctions within different crowds.
Yeah, and within a human crowd made by speech, the crowd would have hierarchy. So there'd be different aspects of the human crowd, or different crowds or classes in the speech-generated capital C crowd, or society.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, you got first and second nature, which I've harped on for 15 years. Anybody who's listening to me knows the difference, okay?
Right.
So let's not get bogged down with human crowd, but it is interesting to clarify one's perception of crowd, that it is, as I'm using it, a creation of second nature. So, this merging of the two natures, first and second, anticipates, okay, the merging in the satellite, the meaning of the satellite, which is creating a, through second nature technology, a simulation of the planet, and so humans can live in it off the planet, so to speak, not in first nature, but in second nature, and so the satellite imitates first nature, and it's a successful imitation because all the requirements for humans to survive in first nature are in this rocket ship or satellite. All right.
Yeah.
So the simulation.
It makes more sense to me to think in terms of a space station. That's an environment that humans can live in.
What about John Glenn when he went around the planet in 1962? I mean, he was
right. It's a transportation vehicle like a car. It's not really an environment that you can really live in. It's not any different than a submersible submarine or something like that.
Yeah, submarine is the beginning of this. Now, the submarine's a parallel operation, but you're not off the planet. You're still in it. The rocket ship from Sputnik to John Glenn's little thing, or the little thing that the Russians made, is they put the apes in, the chimps. All these are phases of the living environment.
Right.
So, you know, where's one begin, where's one end? Yeah, now we've got space stations. But they began with Sputnik. Sputnik is the symbol of the satellite. There was nobody inside Sputnik, but it was the beginning. And then you start putting one human in there, and they could survive.
Right.
So they had the beginnings of a first nature situation.
Right. But the electronic crowd was extended through the satellite. Even if there was no chemical body human being in there, there were cameras and radio signals.
We're talking about the first nature. body, which is what AL technologies are an extension of. When you talk about electric environment, that's an extension of the first of the central nervous system of the first nature human.
Right.
Okay, so you needed the electric phase before you got to the computer and then the satellite. Satellite is the end point. The computer and the television are extensions of the human body, but the satellite's an extension of all of nature, which includes humans. Okay?
Okay.
So, this merging of the two natures anticipates, symbolically, the bridging of the gap, friction in quotes, between humanity and the environment, which is now actualized by cold fusion. So what it means is the actual merging of first and second nature provided by cold fusion is anticipated by the satellite environment. Anticipates in quotes. So the simulation, I have here, the satellite is a simultaneous extension of both first and second natures. This merging of the two natures anticipates symbolically the bridging of the gap or friction between humanity and the environment, which is now actualized by cold fusion. So the actual bridging of the gap, which leads to friction, is actualized by cold fusion. Also, this frictionless condition is anticipated by the satellite as a symbol of individual detachment from the historical prison of the crowd dynamic being media dynamic. We are literally, quote, out of town, unquote, and not just in another town, but off the planet, quote, off the planet. Even though the satellite is a symbolic actualizer of this existential autonomy and solitude, its effect on the collective consciousness creates a purgatory of frustration because there would not be a complementary situation of freedom from basic food, energy, and shelter needs, which still involve the money crowd. But the cold fusion surplus energy source bypasses and resolves this catch-22 dilemma by allowing the individual to live anywhere once he has a cold fusion battery. We will be relatively free of ground rent or visual space or the money crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Is there anything more here? I don't think so. Just review that point. The satellite mimes the autonomy of getting off the previous media technological crowd prisons. So the satellite astronaut floats around all these previous media that took thousands of years to be made and to create conditions and biases in the crowds. But it does not, the satellite does not give you the actual freedom from the crowd to the degree you need food, energy, and shelter.
Mm-hmm.
That is provided by cold fusion.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that the satellite environment, I say satellite and laser beam phase, the satellite environment, I say laser beam because the global theater created by the satellite is an actual global hologram, even though there is not the hologramic technology projecting out, which just recently happened. They showed on CNN or something, a news reporter being holographically projected into another studio. I don't know if you heard about that.
No, they did that the night of Obama's acceptance speech.
Right. So did you see that?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the technology of a hologram as people understand it. But the effects of the hologram are here before in the previous environment.
See, now that's interesting because you're going to lead up to the point that Obama is... the hidden ground to Obama is cold fusion, and when Obama did his acceptance speech, they introduced us to the hologram guy being beamed into the news studio that night. That was the night they did it.
Yeah, the acceptance speech of the convention in August?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so it happened in August. All right. So okay, so we'll see how that applies to what I'm going to say. So
I just, you know, just from a experiential point of view, when you're in a space capsule floating outside the planet, you appear to be outside the crowd. You can see the entire planet from a distance rather than being submersed in it like a fish underwater.
Yeah.
So you have the experience of being outside and looking down at the crowd.
Yeah, and all the media history.
Mm-hmm.
But the eco-freaks made a big deal of seeing the planet. That was the famous photograph that Stuart Brand made, you know, in 1990. The astronauts were amazed at the whole planet. First nature was one thing that overrode the second nature cultural divisions or media divisions. And so they don't play up the history, the view of technology, which creates a hologram around the planet, which the first satellite astronaut is also independent from. Therefore, miming and predicting what was coming with the computer, where you have all media as your content and you were detached from it. That's what we call the voluntary ESP phase. But back to the satellite as a ground creates the interplay of all the media, and for all the cultures that are the content of the global theater, they're inside a hologram, which I say is, quoting McLuhan, the word that makes the market that comes out of the White House. The news is a hologram, and all the environments that are shown in the news are the hologram that the whole planet is revolving around inside of, and that is not technologically a hologram, but it is the effect of the hologram. We're all inside a media-mandated information pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Or the word makes the word makes the market, whatever the news is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from junk bonds in the 80s, the dot-com boom in the 90s, 911, those are hologramic in the sense they involve the whole planet.
Yeah. So it's interesting to note, I would say, in the last maybe 10 years that I've been aware, in the New Age movement, people speak of this idea that we're inside of that reality is a hologram projection or something. But they have it's a meme without substance to most people when they say it. They don't understand what you're going
into. They're using the hologram metaphor or the fractal to explain how first nature is, and that we're all connected in first nature terms. You see? They're actually putting astral body values back into first nature via the technological metaphor of the hologram. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, they don't see that the hologram has all kinds of effects on their New Age dreams and visions. Actually flips into anamorphosis as opposed to fractals.
Also, I find the term hologram to be a bit weak in the sense that a hologram or holographic implies a visual bias. But how do you include the idea of proprioception or haptic, tactile, sensory? These ideas, I think, get excluded from the concept of the idea of a hologram.
Right. Well, most people in American culture are visually biased, but the proprioceptive is the fact that your hologram can be projected all over the place. So you're already projecting yourself through your electronic media. So the movement part, the non-visual part, is included in the hologram by the movement factors, what McLuhan called the telekinetic. So the fact that you can beam me up, there's the famous phrase, beam me up, Scotty. That's the way you're, as a hologram, you move around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
But it does tend to exclude, experiential data such as haptic, proprioceptive, and
as the hologram is presented to us. So when they show someone projected, back in August, that's a visual thing. And they're excluding the multi-sensuous nature of the hologram, which would come with the fully developed hologram. But that's my point. There are the multi-sensuous is already happening in the global theater. So the actual hologram they're showing in August, the night Obama accepted the nomination, is hologramic reality put into high definition. If you define high definition as McLuhan does, as a hot visual medium, a hot detached medium. So the hologram is as recently developed is confusing people about the multisensuous nature of the future hologram.
And it's still actually, the hologram they projected that night is still relatively cool because it's very fuzzy and it's not well, the outlines are wavy. It's not crystallized hot high definition, really.
Yeah. Okay. The point is the satellite environment creates the effect of the hologram before the actual thing that happened in August shows up. All right?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Now, I'm saying that this actual meaning of this global theater hologram is the merging, symbolically the merging of first and second nature, since the satellite part is getting off the planet. The reason I call it the satellite and laser beam phase is the laser beam is the technology that creates the hologram, at least in the beginning in 1960 when the guy invented it. So I put together satellite and laser beam to indicate the satellite and the hologram.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
It's like laser beam is the effect, the technical means to creating the actual effect that the satellite is going to inspire in people.
Right.
So the phrase doing your own thing is a, which comes in the 60s, is the the slang translation into verbal speech of the experience of being off the planet when you're in the satellite. Okay?
Right.
You get to do your own thing, and you're not subject to crowd laws, crowd impositions, and crowd restrictions, and crowd protocols.
Yeah, and in you know, like 68, when the Yippies went out and created happenings, and the camera crews, the video crews went out and videotaped, those things were, you were beamed up to a satellite and then beamed back down to a TV screen.
Yeah.
So, in that sense, maybe you had the experience of being transported.
Yeah. Okay. And the phrase that came out of that scene was, the whole world is watching.
Right.
And that's when McLuhan started talking about the global theater, that summer of 68.
Right.
He changed Global Village to Global Theater because the kids had picked up unconsciously the theatrical nature. That's what the Yippies were, as opposed to hippies. They were media savvy theatrical actors, so they were intuiting the global theater.
And so was the MK Ultra crowd. They were doing counter stuff.
Well, that was what me and the Secret Council 10 were doing. And the hippies were more celebrating the Global Village phase. The Yippies celebrate the global theater.
Right.
Okay?
And Vietnam probably played a large part in that, too, because those images were being bounced all around the world.
Yeah, well, 68 was the year that the satellite and video replay started to come in. There's a book written on that a couple years ago called 1968, focusing on the effect of satellite and video transmission in 1968, which was, you know, quite a politically tumultuous year. And the guy quotes McLuhan throughout the book.
Mm-hmm.
But how this relates to the chart is, if you see that the satellite environment simulates the merger of first and second nature, but is not the actual merger of first and second nature, which is actualized by cold fusion, where a second nature human invention has the immortal characteristics of first nature. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Satellite doesn't have that. So I begin with that the satellite prefigures the Internet, and then the Internet prefigures cold fusion. So
the Internet, not being off the planet like the satellite, it's not only off the planet, it's off the grid. I mean, it's not even in the solar system.
Yeah, it's the whole
nowhere. It's everywhere.
It's bigger. It swallows first nature.
It doesn't have a point of view. I mean, a satellite has a point of view. It has a position in space and time, but the Internet really has no position in space and time at all.
Right. Well, that's where you Remember, the satellite includes the electronic decentralization, which is what you mean by no point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that happens with radio. Okay? The internet is the replay of all the electronic media. It's the digital replay. So I'm saying the satellite is the endpoint of human creation and extends the whole planet, and it symbolically, you know, you say it has a point of view, but the part of the satellite environment that I'm emphasizing is that you can live off, you can live within a simulated first nature environment. Okay? That's the aspect I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking about the difference between first and second nature, and the satellite begins to be a second nature or technological extension or approximation of qualities of first nature.
Which develops into the global hologram, which becomes a new technological environment we're living inside of.
On the software level, that's where it becomes hyper-decentralized and everybody can do their own thing with digital technology later, because the hologram shrinks through digital technology, and that's where you get the term holopathic, where it's a combination of homeopathy and the hologram. So the shrinking of the huge multimedia complex or grid by digital technology makes everybody be an astronaut in their bedroom or wherever they're using their computer. All right?
Mm-hmm.
They can sail over all the previous media, which is what you did when you were an astronaut in the 60s. You sailed around not only the first nature planet, but all the media. But in reference to cold fusion, I'm emphasizing not the shrinking of the hologram part. I'm emphasizing that the satellite is a prefiguring of the merger of second nature and first nature leading to immortal energy, or the frictionless condition. Mortal energy wears out. That's entropy.
Mm-hmm.
Frictionless is negentropy. So, in the period from the satellite to cold fusion, you have this interval phase of the internet, which creates a frictionless level of communication, in the sense that by the year 2000, you've got internet access 24/7. You can get any information wherever you want, anywhere, constantly, 24/7. So in terms of information or communication, as people think the mind is, the communicating of minds experiences a frictionless state through the digital technology, but it doesn't experience the frictionless state as far as food and shelter can happen with when you get cold fusion.
Right. And but when you get cold fusion, you're living in a frictionless economic situation, but the body still is entropic in terms of it's going to grow old and die.
Yeah, but the stresses that survival put on people are released. You can have your shelter, and who knows what applications will be done to making food, but you have warmth and shelter and lighting and entertainment on your computer all for free.
Yeah.
Okay, so that takes a lot of stress off you. There's still the stress of consciousness itself and what to do with oneself.
Yeah.
But the basic solving of physical, chemical body needs, instinctive needs, food and shelter, are solved by cold fusion. They're not solved by the digital technology. Endless stimulation of the mind is solved by the internet. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, I call that solving the software issues. But hardware, actual comfort for the physical body, is solved by cold fusion. So, beginning with the satellite, which emphasizes the merger of first and second nature on the hardware level, energy and shelter, it is not that, but it's a symbolic anticipation in the symbolic meaning of its attempt to merge first and second nature. The software stimulation of the mind is provided by the the digital phase, which I call the Android meme. So now we're going to get into the formula definitions with Android meme symbolized by AM. Okay, so the Android meme is a transition point from the cold fusion symbolic meaning of the satellite. While you have the Android meme, you're going from the satellite to the breakthrough past the Android meme into cold fusion.
Mm-hmm.
So the satellite and laser beam are anticipating the hardware cold fusion physical shelter leading to frictionless support. But in the interim between the satellite and the cold fusion arrival is the phase of the Android meme, which is not the satellite. It extends all previous media, the Android meme, digitally, compresses them, and shrinks them down so that within, by, 2005, it's a very user-friendly environment. The digital software 24/7, frictionless, endless mental instant stimulation are provided by the Android meme.
Mm-hmm.
And the Android meme, I say, is extending itself. It's replaying all the evolution of technologies from speech up to the satellite. We call them analog. The digital replays the history of the analog in a very fast period of time. And it's solving the software needs of mental communication, but it's not providing the physical needs of food and shelter, which is an energy, endless energy, which cold fusion will provide.
When we began this discussion, and we were talking about, and I asked about crowds, we said, language was the first crowd. Language was intimately tied to the human chemical body because it comes out of your mouth. But then McLuhan, when we got into the global theater, started looking at the crowds as being media entities that had become detached completely from the chemical body and were operating in their own media god sphere. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but it sounds like now what you're talking about is a merging again of the technological crowd and the human chemical body crowd, merging back together again.
No. The chemical body is no longer dominated by these huge electronic environments. They shrink through the digital process. So then the body, which is first nature, but science imposes its second nature models on it, so we call it the chemical body, because that's the second nature model, interpretation of first nature, which is a mystery landscape. We don't know the constituents of first nature completely. So the shrinking provided by the Android meme of these
technological crowds,
it makes, for a lot of people, makes them think that their chemical body is bigger than the media. But they don't know that the chemical body is only one subset of what they contain. Their chemical body does contain the TV body, the chip body.
Well, some of these shows on TV, way that the characters playing these roles are looking more and more like androids. Trying to think of the name of a couple of these shows. I don't really watch them. I just occasionally.
Yeah, that's just chemical body supplementation with chip technology.
But I'm saying it looks like a merger of technological crowds with chemical body crowds into a new, sort of hybrid android creature.
When you say chemical body, I mean first nature.
In its entirety, including bugs and protoplasm and stuff?
Yeah, whatever humans project the environment is.
Trees and clouds.
The human body is first nature. But the problem is that we impose clothing models and media on top of it, and that's second nature. So when I refer to the first nature human first nature, human body. I call it the chemical body because that is the dominant model that is projected on first nature. We don't know what our first nature human bodies are made up of.
Right. But the android is what happens when technology invades the human body, and
technology invaded with speech, okay? Yeah. Then you have all these thousands of years of invasions of the first nature physical body by the crowds, which are technological. When you talk about the android, that is computer, genetic, chip, whatever, impositions, injections into the first nature body.
Mm-hmm.
And our second nature description of that is bionic man or android.
Mm-hmm.
Because the android is made by humans.
Right.
First nature is not made by humans. So the android is a product of the merger of electronic, analog, digital knowledge, the genetic knowledge, which is all crowd and archival, so that's second nature. That's imposed on the first nature body, and it becomes an android.
Right.
So,
I heard. What we're beginning to see now is the merging. Right now, you have these disciplines. You have genetic science, you have robotics, and you have nanotechnology, and the three of those are beginning to converge. And that's going to create a radical transformation.
Well, a radical transformation for what we call the chemical body.
Yeah.
Or first nature. But a equally radical transformation for the chemical body or first nature is cold fusion, because it changes the environment the chemical body is in.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that the radical transformation that you're saying genetics and robotics and digital technology
nanotechnology
does is the product of that is what I mean when you bring together the TV body and the chip body and the astral body and the chemical body. The merger of those is represented by a little bit by the android. Because the android will be projected like a hologram too. So that's part of its body, the hologramic environment that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the chemical. The problem with science fiction is they only emphasize what goes on with the chemical body, which is a mutated second nature projection on first nature,
mm-hmm.
which is the given biological body. And even the word biological is a second nature term.
Mm-hmm.
So we begin with first nature, which is the mystery landscape, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And we call that the AP, which stands for anthropomorphic physical. The human consciousness made by human nature, made by first nature, projects an environment it's in. Doesn't know what it is, doesn't even know why it's projecting, it's part of it. But that's what happens through consciousness. So that's a mystery, how that happens, or what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Then all subsequent knowledge was an attempt to figure out what that landscape was. Did it live forever? Did you survive past it? It's like trying to analyze your senses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So second nature is the attempt to describe the mystery landscape, or first nature. And we don't know what the constituents of first nature are, but we keep projecting the constituents through our cultural knowledge that cultures invent or discover. So, if we go to... So the AP, if you notice on the bottom of the chart, it's AP, right? Anthropomorphic physical, the Dobbs quadrant on the tiny note chart.
Right.
All the developments since first nature, since we were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, so to speak, metaphorically, and ate the apple of knowledge and culture, which created clothes, which transformed us. All that being second nature. The humans projected where they were with their original given consciousness, supplemented by second nature models and images,
mm-hmm.
and crowd behavior and rituals,
mm-hmm.
and culture. So the AP, First Nature, Mystery Landscape, gets overlaid with cultures. I distill it down to the last 150 years where Western science is the dominant model explaining First Nature. It says we're made up of proteins, amino acids, DNA particles, the physicists throw in electrons and protons. All that Western scientific model is what's been dominant in terms of explaining what First Nature is made up of. Okay? So that becomes part of our given description of the mystery landscape.
And I think the issue, you know, with the environmentalists is that, you know, that this chemical First Nature that scientists are looking at has an intrinsic wisdom about itself. It knows how to manage itself. But then when we start imposing second nature chemicals and technology, we're intervening without wisdom and screwing things up.
No, we're just talking back to it. We don't know what wisdom or what is in First Nature. We imagine that there's order and divinity or laws or innate wisdom. These are projections by the anthropomorphic physical human.
It's self-organizing, and it rebalances itself, and it perpetuates itself, and it grows with or without second nature technology. But when you go in there, genetic science just goes in there and starts tinkering around with the genetics and doesn't understand how the thing is really put together and how it balances itself and how it all works. You know, you can mess things up.
We tinkered
like a bull in a china shop.
We tinkered it with speech. We tinkered with it. That's the point. Humans create second nature, and it begins a dialogue, an interface, a lot of friction with First Nature.
Yeah, I wonder if it begins to figure out how to adapt itself to our impositions that we're putting overlaying onto it. And then there would be a dialogue going on.
Yeah, now that would be an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a dialogue, there may not be. Remains to be figured out. Don't know if we'll ever get there. But there will be memes created that a lot of crowds will believe that there is a response, as we learn more and more through the 21st century. But I want to get back to the formula. We're moving towards the formula. And on the chart, it has AP in the Dawes Quadrant, and above it, it has the LaRouche Quadrant, McClune Quadrant, Thompson Quadrant, Croker Quadrant, and the LaRouche Quadrant represents chemical body, McClune Quadrant, TV body, and Thompson Quadrant, astral body, and Croker Quadrant, chip body. Instead of body, you could put archive. Archive being the collection of imagery and statements and media, descriptive media about what we think the AP is experiencing. The AP being human consciousness within the mystery landscape. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, the chemical body, TV body, and chip body, and astral body includes technologies from the telegraph, 1850, up to the digital phase, which begins, you could say, about 1960. So the Android meme starts to appear between 1960 and 1990, and you could call that the chip body. So I should say it this way, the chemical landscape, the astral landscape or archive, the TV landscape or archive, and the digital archive, they surface, all of them, by the 60s. But then the digital archive takes over and swallows up the TV archive, the astral archive, and the chemical archive.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a merger of it. As it shrinks, the TV landscape or archive, astral landscape or archive, or chemical landscape or archive, they become appendages of the human, the human consciousness that's looking out and experiencing this reality, and it thinks that they are disappearing. So in the process of disappearing, they become parts of our bodies, not landscape. And that's why they go from chemical landscape or archive into chemical body.
Well, the landscape never disappears, in addition to the fact that they're being absorbed into our body.
That's relatively true. But the perception by the human, as the android meme or chip landscape evolves from 6090, begins to think that the chemical landscape and the TV landscape and the astral landscape aren't as dominant as they were in the first period of 1850 to 1960. They shrink.
And yeah, except more people are being killed by pharmaceuticals and all the stuff we're putting into the landscape and into our bodies.
Which may be the mystery landscape's way of creating evolution. If we assume that we don't know what the mystery landscape is doing. Some would call the mystery landscape God, but that would be a cultural projection, which I would include in the astral archive. The point is, I'm explaining how we move from landscape to body. And so when we get to the body, the chemical body, as opposed to the chemical landscape, the miniaturization and more adaptable to particular individuals and cultures of each landscape, I call them appendages of our original body or mystery landscape. So we have the astral body as opposed to astral landscape, and digital body as opposed to, or chip body as opposed to chip landscape, TV landscape, TV body as opposed to TV landscape, and chemical body as opposed to chemical landscape. On my chart, which is from the tiny note chart, is from 1960 to 1990, that is a picture of the android meme, which is the term for the transmutation of the landscapes into bodies.
Well, we always had an astral body. We could travel in our astral body when we were primitive.
Oh, how do you know? People had described that. They had some kind of experience, but we don't know what it was. Could be brain chemistry, as Bob Carr emphasizes. You don't know what's...
Well, let me continue. I'm not quite... I don't know how to rectify what I'm thinking with what you're saying, but also, you know, back when IBM was making these huge early computers that were the size of a house, you couldn't travel around through the computer, but once we had the internet, then you could travel through the computer, so I could see how, well, I have a chip body now, because I can travel through the chip body just like I can travel through the cosmos in my astral body. But the TV, you could always travel through it. When does that go from being a landscape to a body?
When it gets absorbed in and becomes digital TV, which is what, legislated in February this year, coming up, 2009.
Well, then you're going to have the ability to talk back through your TV, in a sense.
The TV body is just projecting video imagery.
Right.
It's actually, hard to determine whether there is still a TV body when we're inside the chip body. But there are still high-definition TVs that people buy and keep it separate from the computer. So that's what I mean. The TV body is a lingering effect from the TV landscape. It's been absorbed, on a hidden ground level, and a constituent level, or what McLuhan would say, what is constituently, the constituents of an environment, what constitutes us.
Mm-hmm.
The chip environment does that. Its old rearview mirror content is the TV landscape, which becomes a TV body, which is a tinier and tinier video camera. I mean, people used to, by the 80s, they could take a little TV, a little tiny TV to the beach, right? Watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to watch it in their living room like in the 50s and 60s.
And you're saying it went from landscape to body because it went from a big clunky thing that you couldn't take with you to something that you could hold in your hand and you felt bigger than.
Yeah, and it was portable. It made you more mobile, and it was portable.
And that's all integrated into the cell phone now.
Yeah. So, this phase of shrinking of the landscapes into the bodies and I'll be redundant and just repeat them so people are following this ABC we're laying down here. Merger of the chemical, astral, and TV and chip bodies into this fluidity on your iPhone is what I call the Android meme. Now, when I say the Android meme is technology extending itself as opposed to technology being extensions of the original first nature human organism or mystery landscape, okay? Technologies up to the satellite were extensions of the human organism or the mystery landscape. When the Android meme comes in the 60s, begins to be developed, it is not extending humans, it's extending previous technological environments within itself. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So, the idea that technology takes on a life of its own is possible when the satellite environment has arrived, and the satellite environment prefigures the merging of first and second nature. When first and second nature appear symbolically to have merged with the satellite, but have not actually merged, then they can also appear to separate. So the satellite inaugurates increased images of merger, of first and second nature, and increased images of separation of second nature from any human first nature given.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
So this oscillating back and forth between the first nature and second nature merger and blocking.
Mm-hmm.
Blocking being the Android meme takes on a life of its own. That's theme or meme. As opposed to technology disappearing and first nature dominating it, or the extensions created from first nature dominating it, which would be the human body. That's the dialectic within the Android meme. It appears to be disappearing as well as taking on life of its own. This fluctuation between the merger of first and second nature and the separation of first and second nature from each other, the hyper-separation of first and second nature from each other is possible when you have the implied merger. Because it's not an actual merger. It fails as an actual merger, the satellite environment, the satellite symbolism. So it means that it creates its antithesis. The symbolic fragmenting of second nature from first nature. So that is the dynamic within the chart. The Android meme seems to be dominating us, or it seems to be disappearing. The two are happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you get these two phases of the Android meme, 1960-1990. The first phase is AM, for Android meme, over AP, AP being anthropomorphic physical. The second phase is anthropomorphic physical over the Android meme. When I say over, that means appears to dominate or is bigger than or squelches what is under in the formula. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So AM over AP is the beginning from 1960 up to 1980. Then from 1980, with personal computers coming in, to 2000, it's AP over AM. As an effect of the Android meme.
Mm-hmm.
So you have one theme going on in the last 40 years of technology taking off on its own and just leaving humans behind. That is what Croker emphasizes. The death of the human form, the irrelevance of the human form as the Android meme evolves.
Mm-hmm.
What I emphasize is not that meme or thread or interpretation, but the shrinking of the Android meme and first nature or our image of first nature or the anthropomorphic physical projection by human consciousness, that seems to dominate technology. Technology becomes smaller, tinier, and user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Not taking on life of its own, disappearing. But the Croker interpretation and the Dobbs interpretation are complementary, are within the overall effect of the Android meme and the life of the Android meme before cold fusion knocks off the Android meme.
Mm-hmm.
really diminishes the dilemma of whether the android meme is taking on a life of its own or it's disappearing and seducing us. Part of the Dobbs interpretation is the android meme disappears but is still controlling us.
Yeah, because we become fully married.
Right, and the human body seems to be getting stronger, where Croker emphasized the human body disappearing.
Right, which is threatening to the little me that feels that it's being invaded by something.
Right, right. Croker talks about how McLuhan missed the cannibalistic nature of technology, that technology would be extensions of humans and then turn on humans and eat the human up. He said McLuhan missed that point. At least he says that in his rhetoric. You might probably know that, of course, McLuhan said that and always considered media as cannibalistic.
Yeah, and from the point of view of computer scientists who are looking at Moore's Law and are saying, well, if processor power continues to double every 18 months, then we can figure within the next 5 to 10 years computers are going to be smarter than humans and they will devour us.
Right, that's one projection. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Cold fusion might change that. Cold fusion might enhance that. Anyways, there's also the fact that they don't get smarter than us. They just take over functions that we don't need to do anymore. Because we're smarter than computers and we're not going to do the work. The computers will do the work. And we put them to work to do what they can do better than us.
Yeah, and you saw the movie Idiocracy. Humans get dumber and dumber as computers take over all the functions that humans used to do.
Yeah. So you have, in McLuhan, as I write in my essay, he's intuiting the services and disservices of the android meme. The disservices are hyper-emphasized by Croker. The services are hyper-emphasized by me. All right?
Yeah.
I don't see Croker talking about cold fusion. He does. He probably would say cold fusion would be within the evolution of the android meme as taking on life of its own. I see the cold fusion as a breakthrough that restores the autonomy of the individual in relation to technological crowd dynamics, which was prefigured by the satellite going around the planet and all the media on the planet.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So beginning with speech, we began to have the separation of autonomy. We had the autonomy of the human being and then the autonomy of the technological crowds. But you're seeing those two autonomies merging back into the autonomy of the human being.
Okay, well, I don't know why you say there's two kinds of autonomy. I'm using autonomy to refer to human consciousness, which is part of the mystery landscape, feeling rather unconstrained.
Right, and I'm thinking in terms of when McLuhan talked about the global theater and the actors on the stage were the autonomy of technology running on its own.
Okay, so you're talking about autonomy as technological life and autonomy as the human organism life.
Right, and the threat that the humans feel by the autonomy of the technological actors on the stage, which is what Croker is referring to, and then you're saying, well, the autonomy of the technological actors on the stage merge with the autonomy of the human, or the human feels that his autonomy is restored.
Yeah, there's two kinds of autonomy there, and they merge through the satellite android meme hologramic holopathic effect, and it's hard to determine who's winning, but cold fusion tips the balance toward the human.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The
autonomy confusion is is resolved by cold fusion.
Remember Zappa said in The War Between You and the world always wins, but you're saying that we're going to see a new day where that's not true. You win.
Yeah. Yeah, you win. And that doesn't mean that you'll be able to handle the fact you won. I'm saying that'll be the environmental fact. How we react to that is part of the mystery landscape. We're going to find out how humans, what makes up humans.
Well, you know, movies like Transformers, which had a lot of Bob symbolism in it, you know, predict that the humans and the and the machines form an alliance. They become allies. They become friends. They serve each other, but the human being is the master. That's what that movie projected.
That's the hope. That's the optimistic view.
Mm-hmm.
This is the pessimistic complementary view. The mystery landscape forbids us to know which is what it's going to be.
Right.
To know which is what it is,
yeah.
What it will be.
Yeah. So we don't know if some scientist is going to do something biological that's going to turn loose on the planet and destroy everything, or some nanotechnology guy is going to create the gray, you know what gray goo is? It's these little
What'd you say?
Gray goo. Do you know what gray goo is?
No, gray goo.
Gray goo. Yeah, it's these nanobots that consume molecular substances, and they copy themselves, and so they just start eating up everything, every organic molecule that they can get a hold of, and then they start even eating the matter away. You know, the gray goo scenario.
Okay, we don't know whether the mystery landscape requires humans. So it may not be a problem that humans disappear, or it might be a problem for whatever humans are experiencing in the final days of species existence. So that's what we mean by the mystery landscape. We don't know what is the basic goal of first nature, or whatever we are living in.
Or if first nature even exists. I mean, in the most radical Vedic philosophies, it's all some kind of
Yeah, but they then say there's something else behind that.
Yeah, something eternal, you know.
Yeah, and I would say that would fit into the astral archive.
Yeah.
That's something beyond first nature. I'm saying that the term first nature includes whatever we project beyond it, and that's a mystery.
Right.
Okay, so we can now look at the formulas. We have AM refers to Android meme, AP to anthropomorphic physical. So if we look at... where's the first explanation of this? On the McLuhan list, it's called My Formula Complexifies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you scan down this post where someone from actually the five body list is asking me about how's the TV body different from the ship body and the astral body, blah, 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 then I say, everyone is engaged with the five bodies, whether actively or passively.